Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
I am Tony Williams.
And this is Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
All right. Another week.
Yes, sir.
And more basketball.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. It could have been no more basketball.
It was very close. Looked like
very close. Very close. Well, I guess if Kyrie Irving said, hey, LeBron passed first, as long as he passed to me, we're going to be all right.
I was amazed. I'm not gonna sit and tell you no lie. I knew the young kid had skills, but.
Man, he went to work.
I didn't know he was that good, man.
And then LeBron just walked into his 41.
Right, he did.
He started eating the rim. Mm-hmm. He started eating the basket like, I'm going to eat this rim till they stop me and foul me hard enough where I can shoot free throws. The jumper was hidden.
He had that mid-range jumper was working for him.
The funny thing for Kyrie Irving for me was this. Like, he was doing moves, and the guys that was holding him, they was looking at the referee like, help. Call something.
Yeah, he double dribble stepped something. What did he do? He was handing that rock.
They playing defense like, look at the ref like, hey. He killing me. Yeah, 17 and 4. Amazing.
Yeah, and amazing. I think they had 1 point, man, Golden State in the last 4 minutes of the game. Something like that, 1 point. But you know, the caveat to the game, and we have to address it, was a suspension.
Okay.
Game suspension. Because, you know, all the sports writers is saying that this was a designed move by the league in hopes of prolonging the series. Okay, so I'm pretty sure there's a lot of folks that might feel that way too, but the fact of the matter is they got rules, and the rules that dictate what is a flagrant foul, and if you got so many, you get 1 game suspension. And if they didn't pull the trigger on it, then that would have said that the rules are no good. Why even have them?
Yeah, my thing is I can't rig 41 points from two people.
No.
Like, yeah, we're going to let you get 40. I don't know who's going to let somebody get 40.
No. I mean, but it's an interesting subject to have a conversation about, because how many millions or more dollars would be made versus a 4-game series and a 6 or 7-game series?
That's right. If you go back to Cleveland, you know, that's the whole city. LeBron is the whole city of Cleveland.
Viewership. I mean, commercials. I mean, those folks that bought into the downtown the Cleveland get to have another day of their commercials, which means that they got to pay extra dollars.
Downtown Cleveland, period. Right. Like, the LeBron effect is for real in Cleveland, because we used to go to Nike clinics for coaching. And we was going before LeBron. We went during LeBron. And then when LeBron left, and then when he came back, we got to see it was actually hangout spots and diners and restaurants that were partially built, because they was expecting LeBron to come back, but he left him for Miami.
Okay.
We went to hang out that fall. They're just in some of the eateries, some of the pubs, and it was like, it was half done. I like, what happened? It was like, LeBron, man, he left. I like, what you mean, he left? He said, man, LeBron leave. He said, his name bring millions.
Okay.
So just imagine the finals being in Cleveland.
Another game.
Yeah. So think about that night, the amount of that day.
The amount of money that's going to infuse downtown Cleveland.
The hotels, all those things. So it's like, he really has a factor. That's why. Like I say, Curry's the best MVP. LeBron the MVP.
When you look at it in terms of dollars and cents.
LeBron's MVP.
To Cleveland, there's no doubt. He is their most valuable person.
Yeah,
when it comes to money. So it'll be interesting. Thursday night, we'll see what happens. And it's going to be interesting. So
that's
like
right.
I said, but I'm through predicting. My prediction days are over. I screwed this up. So I'm going to just watch it, see how this play out.
That's right. I know last week we were talking about the book I was reading, How the Poor Can Bring Capitalism by John Hope Bryant. And remember we were talking about the 500 credit score community versus the 700 credit score community.
Mm-hmm.
And by happenstance, chance, I had about several people call me actually about that, and they said they're ready to get their credit together. And they was in the subprime. They were like 500, low 400, high 400s, low 500 credit scores. And I know a lot of times it's hard for people to have the finances to do certain programs that my company provides or things that I can do for them. But So I had to check my library and see some resources that I had from past attorneys and things. And that's what I'm going to share today. It's called, today's show going to be called Credit Repair Fast Facts, like fast food. Like, we're going to try to feed you some things and see if they can digest them today, Tony. I know you got some things too over there. Just going into just trying to get them some information that credit restoration is something you can do on your own. But then you always get to a point where you're going to have to pay for a service. Mm-hmm. You always going to get to a point. So I'm going to share some of those things today. And what do you have for us, though?
Well, it's that this phenomenon that was been created about the credit score itself. And I don't know how many people really understand the financial impact your financial score has on your lifestyle. And until you really understand that and become, you know, astute to what these scores mean, you'll probably never get to the level where you can exercise the benefit of having great credit. Just like you mentioned earlier about the credit score, and I got some information about how they rate it. And you mentioned, you know, there were some 500s and 400s. Well, if you're at 500 and less than 500, that is considered a miserable credit score, okay, which says that you are going to pay the highest amount of interest for anything that you purchase. The next tier, it's a bad credit score, which is 500 to 579. And a lot of this is what we covered last week, but I think in order for that light bulb to go on, people need to know what these ranges mean and how that, you know, applies to them.
I think, Tony, I think people really think that, like, when they get approved for something, they got good credit.
Not necessarily.
Why is that kind of thinking is out there? Like, oh, I got approved for this. That don't mean you got good credit, especially when it comes to a car.
Right, because they don't have anything to compare it to. Okay, if you know what individual on the other side of town paid for his house, what his mortgage interest rate is versus what you have, it might become more relevant to say that, well, he financed his house, he got 4%, I financed mine, and I got 12%.
I got an example for them, for the audience today. The greatest example is the car example.
Okay.
Like I told you, I had a financial downfall, and I had to buy a vehicle. I didn't want to buy it. I ended up buying it. And then someone showed me a sheet that, based on the credit score I had at the time, if I bought the car, the interest was going to be 14% after my financial downfall. I was like, no. So I went and bought a car for a couple $1,000s. But then they showed me that same car with a better credit score, with like a 700 or a 750 or 740.
Oh, you cooking
now. And the interest was like 4%.
Big difference.
It was a difference of paying $14,000 in interest or $4,000 in interest. And that's what Tony is talking about. It's like, if you're going to function and say, I got approved, and you're going to be in a vehicle that's too old, or you're paying so much money to the point when you done paid, say the car worth $20,000 and you done paid $15,000 in interest, that's $35,000 you done paid, $15,000 extra for a car. Imagine what you could buy. That's what I'm talking about. Like, don't think that because you got approved for something that you got good credit.
Right.
Because I was at a dealership the other day, and they were talking. In the background, I was there for some other business, meeting one of my friends, and he was like, yeah, he's talking to a guy. Guy had on flip-flops. He wouldn't even dress professionally or anything to buy a car, some do-rag on his head, hoodie. I'm looking like, he about to get got. I ain't want to say nothing to him. I was just like, nah. But I was like, they doing business.
Really bust him up.
He had a do-rag on, flip-flops with the socks on, the jeans, the hoodie, the whole get-up. And he said, you got a job? You got a check stub?
Okay.
That's all you need. Let's see what we can run. Let's run some numbers.
And you know, the hook is what you pay monthly, right? That's right. The hook. Oh, I can afford that on a monthly basis, but for how many months? That's the kicker.
96 months.
96 months. The car will be a classic by age, based on the age of it when you finish paying for it.
And they got loans out there like now, 86 months.
Oh, yeah.
They got 10-year loans out there for
and
people.
They got companies that deal with subprime market.
They know stretch that pay. They stretch that $300 for 10 years. $300 for 10 years, that's $3,000 a year. On average, that's $30,000.
30 grand. I mean, there's some homes you can buy on the market for 30 grand.
That's right. You can.
Okay.
You can.
Which would appreciate in value based on the fact if you did some work to it. But 99% of the automobiles depreciate in value as they get older.
That's exactly, you're exactly right. I said, I'm not buying no more new cars. Me, I'm done.
2 years old.
Yep, 2 or 3 years
two
old.
2 or 3 years old, man. Pay cash
or the government vehicles. When they get ready to turn them into auction, like them Tauruses and them cars like that. Them yeah. The best town cars to ride around in.
They got great motors in them, man. Yep.
So it's something to think about.
So, yeah, we was pulling through that chart. I'm going to finish that out. So average credit, 620 to 679. And if you got access to a computer or you can go down to the library, college, and just, you know, all you got to do is put your information in. They'll give you a free report. Good credit, 680, 719. Good credit, okay? And then excellent credit, 720 and up. So before you can do anything about trying to make your credit better, you got to know where it's at first.
Exactly right. And the first step in repairing your credit is this word right here, that budget. Establishing a budget, establishing a spending plan. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Establishing a spending plan. Only thing, throw my spending plan off is my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, we always have that deviation.
It's spending plan, and then it's my wife. She's good, but it's always just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes just some things she wants to have.
You know, so you got to have a just in case spending plan, and you got your wife plan.
Right.
That's got to be. You know, I'm a younger guy, so it's going to be there. It's going to be in place, and it's things, needs going to come up. So you always got to be able to look and see it, be able to prepare for that cushion.
You know, you get unexpected things, too, that come up.
So if you're struggling with a subprime credit score, is first thing, establish a spending plan. Because a lot of times I tell people, like, especially, you can do credit restoration for yourself for free. If you have the knowledge. If you have the knowledge and the resources, you can do it for free.
And the due diligence.
And the time. It's a tedious thing. When I did it back in 2000 for myself, it was so tedious. And it took longer. It took longer than the process I do now, which takes like 12 months, from average of 3 to 6, 9 to 12 months. I mean, when I did it then, it took me about 2.5 to 3 years because I got some things off, but some things got ghosted back on there.
Okay.
So they knew I did it on my own. But then the first thing is just establishing a spending plan. So then you got your budget. So, okay, now you got a budget. What comes after that? So when you're establishing your budget, what comes after that is, how do I get a copy of my credit report? Now, it's several factors you got to look at. The first thing is you've been denied credit. That's a first free credit score.
Right.
You can get a free credit report like that. Secondly, you are unemployed or intend to apply for a job within 60 days following your request for your credit file. So that could be because now they pull credit reports for insurance, jobs, doctor's visits.
Yes,
if you want to get expensive surgery, you want something done to your mouth, orthodontics, you go see a chiropractor or whatever. They're like, oh, this is you want this surgery. You want this facial? You want this done to your body?
Yeah, let's go for your credit. Unless you're paying for it all at once.
I can't remember the name of that credit they do for the medical. Like, you know, you're on a medical expense. They got an application you make you fill out for medical expenses.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. It's a form of credit for medical.
Interesting.
So if you have until your insurance kick in or something, it's like, oh, your insurance don't kick in until the cycle, you know.
Yeah, last time there's a waiting period.
Yeah, it's a waiting period. So they say, we'll fill out for this and we'll back it. So credit is so important. You might need a surgery or anything. You receive public assistance. You believe your credit report contains errors due to fraud. So those are ways you can get a credit report. And you'll do one free credit report every year. So that's the next step. So you got your budget. Then you have pulling a credit report from TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. So every year you can get one for free. And I advise you to get one for free and go through it and view it. Because
every year.
Because what can happen is you'll find mistakes in your report. And there's the craziest mistakes. I mean, I don't know if you worked in this field also, calling clients and everything. And seeing being a collection agency. A lot of times it's errors. Even when the people is calling from collection agency, they'll report your items 2 or 3 times. And it'd be 2 or 3 companies on your credit report.
For the
same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be different amounts. You're like, what's this? How is this on there 4 times? Because they done sold it off to 3 or 4 different people, and now it's on your credit report 4 times. That's something that you can legally fight. So there's just knowing that's a mistake on your credit report first. If you don't ever pull it, and it's like you just saying, like, I'm going to go apply for this car, I'm going to pray tonight.
That's good.
I'm going to pray tonight and I hope my credit report going to look like.
No, don't work like that.
God going to work away. And he will work away.
Well, he'll help you when you help yourself.
That's right. You got to lay the plan down. So we're trying to give you a plan today. So we got budget. Then you say, okay, get a copy of your credit report so you know what's on it. So then when they ask you questions, because they get down to the loan officer, when they ask you questions, what's this? I don't know. You know, that's when I was young.
Not a good answer.
I was young, Tony.
Not a good answer.
I was a little, you know, my mama got the lights in my name.
Right. When you was five. You had bad credit since you was five.
You got the lights in my name. I mean, but those things happen.
Oh, yes.
You know, somebody got the lights in somebody's name, a cell phone in the kid's name. So then you want to be able to deal with those things before you even go in there. Know the mistakes that you have. I've seen situations, Tony, where it had somebody, a junior, mm-hmm. that had his daddy credit.
Yep.
Or, and it was bad credit. Or it was, sometimes it was good credit. Like, well, I got my dad, the house on my credit report.
Right.
Like, don't take that off. Leave that on there. The payment is good. You got great credit because your father older than you. I mean, some mistakes are good mistakes, but you still want to correct those errors, even the good ones.
Yeah, and the same thing with people with the same names. And a lot of times companies will ask for your Social Security number to distinguish between individuals with the same names. So I've had that happen. My wife's had it happen. So, again, that's the reason for the credit report.
Okay. Another one is having a different incorrect account histories, like the amount, the time you opened it or you closed it. That's the description is there too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got some of your credit report, you was late one time. They say, oh, you had this for 10 years. Like, I ain't had that long. Or it was closed. It's just recently closed. You're like, hold up. I closed this months ago or years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So just having accounts like that, or you having a credit inquiries requested by companies in your credit report older than 2 years, and they still sitting there. They're supposed to come off.
Right.
So people that apply for stuff, and they got credit reports that has inquiries when you apply for something, and it's a hit on your credit reports. I call them hits. When you get a hit on there, it's like, okay, you tried to apply for a car. Oh, you tried to apply for some jewelry. You tried to go to Home Depot. You tried to go to Lowe's. You tried to go to these different places to say, okay, I'm going to apply for this, and I'm going to get this. But then, unfortunately, you don't apply several places for one thing. Now, you don't lower your credit score. But then, also, you're not showing the knowledge of having credit intelligence.
Right.
Saying, hold up, I'm not going to apply to all these places. I go to this one place to get this.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't get the Mercedes-Benz of financing, which is the top tier, the lowest rate,
right,
what's my next option? You don't want to enter that pool of credit that we talked about, that pool. Bankruptcies sometimes are on people's credit reports longer than 10 years because they don't fight them. And, you know, a bankruptcy or a tax lien or a judgment are court documents.
Mm-hmm.
Those are public documents that you can go downtown and look at. So a bank financer don't put them on your credit report. A clerk does, like a county clerk or someone, when they have to put in information, they just put it in. That's an entry. So then when you fight something like that, depending on if it's wrong or not, you could dispute that. And if they don't respond to it in a certain amount of time, you can have a situation where things looking pretty good for you, but you got to know that information, that what's wrong on there. So it's pulling the credit report, establishing a budget, and going through and finding erroneous items. The next thing is, when you look at the credit report, you say, okay, would they remove this stuff? How can you get them to remove this information off my credit report? And what I've done in the past is, I have these series of letters, like they're pre-made letters. And what happens is, based on the information I have at home, it's like I have my name, my address, and then I fill in on the file, it'll have the company name, the account, their address. I list the account, what the account was, and I tell the truth and say what it was, and I look at the time, because if you can look this up online, you can Google and say the statute of limitations for in Michigan for a car loan being in your credit report. Retail credit cards, you know, things like that, which is that's closed or charged off, you could dispute those items.
Okay.
And then based on your disputation, if you dispute them, they got so many days to move out of your credit report. If they don't respond in writing in some type of capacity, they have to take off your credit report. Now, if it's legally that you owe that, yes. But then if they got the wrong balance reporting thing, it's their job to adjust that. But if the statute of limitation up, they got to remove it completely from your credit report.
Good information.
So that's just things that people need to know. So, like, a lot of times, I can do that myself. But I always tell people, say, okay, so you're telling me you could put a motor in your car yourself, too. You can go on YouTube and put a motor in and find out how to put a motor in your car.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You change the transmission if you want to. If you that guy or that girl, you could do that. Go ahead.
Follow instructions.
But it's always good to figure out, okay, equip yourself with the knowledge, go as far as you can, but you always going to get to the point, if you want the best, you're going to need somebody that's an expert in that field. So that's the thing I wanted to share with them on that, so just going through that process. What else can I do to repair my credit? If your credit report is missing accounts, you pay on time. Remember, somebody asked me that. I said, Chauncey, I've been paying on this credit card forever. It's not on my credit report.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's people out there like that because they don't pull their credit report. So they get approved for something and they get it. They're quicker to put something on that when you late.
Oh, absolutely.
They're faster to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, man, I was only 1 day, 3 days. Hey, you know the
late
system.
Late is late.
The system, hey, you know how it is. We need our money. But then if you get something new, then sometimes they take their time. Putting that car on there or something, and you paying good, you got good time, you're not late on payments, but it's a new item, so they take their time. So yes, that's something you got to check that credit report. I have a file that I check mine every week, so I get text messages and things like that. And it's a service that's worth it for me, so mm-hmm. just protecting my identity.
Yeah, I got one today about good news.
Yep, good news. Yep, this came off.
Yep.
If you up, your credit score is up. You're over this number. Okay. Positive reflection.
Right.
You know, just things like that to make sure you move on. The next thing is when you're dealing with this, you pay on time, you send the items to the credit bureau, recent account statements, and copies of canceled checks showing your payment history. So if you want to be able to show that account on there, say your bank statements. Because what I do, I auto pay everything. So, like, I have it in my bank account with the bank I bank with. So, like, if I make payments, I have them posted, and then I could print them up. So when I had a bank statement, it shows that. So I don't write that many checks. I haven't wrote a check in a long time. Probably write 2 checks a month. So I got checkbooks, but it's different. You could do quick pay. You could send a text message to somebody to pay them. You could use PayPal. So it's good to keep a record of that. So when you're trying to pay your credit card, like, you know, you got American Express,
right.
You pay that bill off every month. That's a great positive reflection of your credit report. And say if some information get reported wrong, you have that the information to back you up. Creditors like to see the evidence of stability. So if any of your following information is not on your credit report, send it to the bureaus and ask them to add it. Your current employment, your previous employment, especially if you've been at your current job fewer than 2 years, your current residence, your telephone number, especially if it's unlisted, your date of birth, your checking account number. Again, the credit bureau does not have to add these, but often it will. So just giving somebody, say, oh, he's been at this address 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's not moving all over the place. You know?
Yeah, a lot of times on applications, they ask you that question, too. You know, if, how long have you been at this particular residence? Because they want to be able to check to see, you know, what happened at the prior residence.
You're right. It's a question that I want to ask you, Tony, that you probably heard it before. I've been told that I need to use credit to repair my credit.
That's absolutely right.
You can do that. Yeah, that is right.
Yeah.
I have an example. I want you to probably share an example that when somebody say you can use credit to repair your credit.
Okay. Well, secured credit, you know, is something that's to establish your payment pattern, okay? Normally, that's what gets folks in trouble with credit cards. They're very sporadic in their payment pattern or they're paying the minimum. And, it's not good for your credit. Creditors like it for the simple reason that they just continue to get that interest every month, because that's all you're basically doing is paying the interest on it, and the principal stays there.
They like the money. You're right.
Yeah, so it's a cash flow issue for them. But from a credit reporting standpoint, if you get that secured credit card, that gives you an opportunity to start to reestablish good payment patterns, okay, because that's what they're looking for, payment patterns. And you have to do it in a very methodical, slow way. It's not going to happen overnight. And I equate it to credit managing, okay? You need to manage your credit. And if it's bad, you still need to manage it, okay? It's going to take you longer. But the example I want to use is that you definitely have to start with a secured credit card in hopes of improving your credit score.
Now, you're right. that's definitely one way. I remember I work with a lot of people that, I mean, I guess it's my ministry. People that get in trouble and they end up going away for a long time. I work with those people. So, and you know, those people need help. You know, mm-hmm. those are brothers and sisters, and they're ready to come home. And they have, one thing they have, Tony, is no credit.
None.
So I remember before Judge Bush changed this law, it was where you can sell them a line of credit, your own line of credit. Like if I had a credit card that had good history, mm-hmm. I could sign them up as an authorized user.
Okay.
And they could get that history that I had automatically. So as soon as they get out of jail or they come from what situation they was in, they would call me and we would connect, charge them a fee, and get that instant credit. So they get like an instant credit score, set them up a budget, go get them a secure loan, credit card, establish a bank account, and they're on their way.
Get them started.
Whatever you do after that, I can't help you.
Okay.
But you on your feet. So then you just get him that authorized user history. But George Bush changed that law. But if you are someone that's in a, just recently got married, and it happens sometimes, somebody be like, I just love this person, they credit bad, I'm working with them, I'm gonna establish. But that's a hard relationship to establish. That's rough.
Yeah.
If one credit person's credit is good, another one's bad, get ready to stay bad together. Because somebody got to be the leader in the whole financial situation. Like I say, in my household, I'm the leader in it. It's a budget, then it's wife. So it's like, you always got to compare for that cushion. But looking at that, I don't use my wife's credit at all. Her credit is excellent. It's immaculate. I look at it as her credit is our fallback. Mm-hmm. In case that if it's in a situation, I can use your credit for this. Because we don't live outside of where we need the excess of her having so much extra money. But gotcha. When it does come, it'll be in a place where it can be saved and it can build other things. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point of looking at it and say, okay, well, we can manage off just my credit report and we'll have to jointly sign for everything. That's another way of building someone else's credit in a positive way. Only put positive things in her name that I know that can be paid off fast, small accounts, small loans. Mm-hmm. That I know that, all right, that's going to be paid off. That's easy.
Just bolster her credit now.
To bolster her credit. She's pretty close to her family, and I think she got some mail back home in her mother's house, and her sister was like, hey, how your credit's gonna get to be this number? Like, man, your credit is immaculate. She's like, can I? She was like, oh, no.
Don't work that way.
My husband don't say no. He says no. She's like, oh, he got you under control. Like, no. I want to have bad credit. That's what she had to tell her. So just looking at that past experience and sharing that is just like thinking that her sister was astonished. Like, your credit score is so high. Well, it's being done on purpose for that.
It's managed.
It's managed on purpose like that.
Credit management.
Yep, it's managed like that. So just looking back at that and seeing just being an authorized user, like Tony said, a secured loan, being able to sign on to somebody else's credit. The thing I don't approve, another way is that terrible word. It's like a curse word to me. It's called cosigner.
Hoo-hoo, don't use it.
Don't use it. Don't do it. I'm going to say it again. I don't care how – if you don't care how somebody close to you, when you cosign, you're not friends no more.
Nope. I think we're not going to be friends.
I know we talked about that.
You said buy it for them. Before you cosign, just buy it for them.
Give them some money. Like, I can loan you some money.
Yeah, and you again – you're probably just giving it to them anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
because so. They ask you to co-sign. They're in a situation where they're in a subprime credit score.
Right.
They're saying, yeah, man, let me use your name right quick. They say I can get this car. I'm putting $7,000 down.
Oh. Buy your car. Well, you know.
I'm putting my whole tax refund down if I can get this car. Come on, man, just co-sign. I'm like, if you're doing that, you don't need me.
No, no.
That's the whole thing. They don't even realize that the interest is about to eat up the whole $7,000.
Yeah, that comes off the top.
That's $7,000. Somebody put that in their pocket. When you say, here goes $7,000. They're like, dang. The person behind the desk, like, they rubbing their hands together. Like, he about to give me $7,000. He can get into a credit restoration program.
That's where he hit it.
For 10% of that. And be like, and be right back in here with, and don't put no money down and drive the car off a year later.
Yep.
A year older, a year later, and cheaper, and with good credit.
Right.
Just wait a year.
Work on it. Get that credit right.
Instead of giving them $7,000. Look at that scenario. Just think about that, Tony. Like, okay, someone gets a big income tax refund. They say, I'm going to go get this new car. They say, I'm going to need $5,000 down. So they go in. They get to take the $5,000. They give it to the dealership. The dealership eats that up in interest. You drive off, new keys, new car smell.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, your payment is not even, your payment only goes down for what? Every $10,000 is like what?
Probably 10%.
Yep, 10%, maybe. $200 or something.
Yeah, it's not much.
Because if you have bad credit, it's going down $200. So look at it, it's going to be $800. Now your note going to be $600 for 60 months. So if you had good credit, you probably be paying $400 for 60 months.
Oh, yeah.
For something you want.
Yeah. Because when you see those commercials on TV where they say for the brand new car, $159 down, $159 a month.
Yes.
They're talking to a certain segment of the population. That's those people who has the credit score of 720 and up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You zero finance.
Yeah, yeah. You walk in with a credit score of 500 and ask for that particular promotion, So I've seen it on TV, and I'd like to get in on that. And once they get that information about your credit score, they're going to take you over to the budget lot and going to show you something that they can't sell.
Yeah, 1500 or best offer.
Right, yeah. So those kind of commercials are geared to those folks that are in that higher score for credit.
Man, it's good marketing. Then they talk real fast at the end of commercial audience. They go like, get this car, get this. And he's like, it's going slow. He's got the guy getting out the car with his family. He got the suit on. He looking good. You're like, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm going to look great in that. And then go, at the end of the commercial, go like, the music start playing. He goes talking, start rocking real fast.
Oh, you
like
can't
a tongue twister. 19%.
Yeah, on the leases. And one of the leases you got to listen to.
Yeah.
And they tell you it's for returning preferred leasers.
That means the people that do it for a business. They driving this car. I got a friend right now. He has a car like my wife's Impala, and they give him a new car every year, as long as he don't drive over 12,000 miles.
Okay.
But he always on an airplane. His job requires him to fly everywhere. Okay. So the car just used to go to functions. And he still got the same car from college.
Really?
He got it like an old BMW, like a 91.
Right, in a new car.
He said, you still have that car? He said, yeah, I still got this car. He said, this is for the image. He said they gave me a car allowance and a phone allowance. He said, I got to get a lease so when I can pull up to business functions looking like a part.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people want cars and vehicles to look like a part that somebody else ain't paying for that part. When you see somebody riding a Benz and they riding a new one, they're not even paying for that.
Yep.
The company paying for that.
Company's paying
for it. So we got to start paying attention. They money not going towards a note. If it's a brand new car, they're not doing that. Mm-mm. That's a business expense.
Right. Yeah, Benz, you know, you paying $800, $900 car note for them.
They not paying nothing.
For the high end. If you go out and try to finance that particular car as an individual.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Establish your business and then.
$150,000 car, man.
It's not worth it to say you got it.
Nope.
I don't know what it is, brother. Well, these were our credit repair facts today, Tony. I just said I looked at it like fast food today.
Yes.
Fast food not good for you. So it's not. I'm going to say that again, fast. But. Fast credit repair facts can be, and it can lead you to a road of success, a straight and narrow path. Do the right thing. Some of the things we talked about was pulling your credit report, establishing a budget, knowing how to use credit to build credit, and being able to look out for the pitfalls of what could happen if you don't make the right choices when you're making some decisions with your credit and trying to go buy new items and not researching your credit history and knowing your plan. It's a good thing to walk into somewhere and you know what's on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call the word leverage. You go
that's
in and
what
say,
it is.
Oh, you got this number. I was like, I know.
Yes.
Where the coffee at? Where the donuts?
Right. I intend to pay this much for interest. And if there's anything over that, then we don't have a deal.
We don't have a deal.
And I'm walking because somebody will deal with me
because
of my credit score.
And that's what we want you to get, audience. We want to get those. I've been listening to John O'Brien. I mean, I'm gonna blow him up on the radio. He talks about self-esteem. That self-esteem, that's the God in you, being able to say, all right, I got the confidence to do some things and change some things. Secondly is love. Love for people and appreciate them, not out of need so you can despise them. And the last thing he said is figure out how to raise your credit score 100 points. Everything in your world will change with those three things. Self-esteem, love, and 100 extra points to your credit score will change your whole environment, attitude, and personality. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.